Welcome back to the YouTube home for BamaOnline.com. Travis Ryer, senior analyst for BOL. It is time for a quad box of recruiting coverage. And right there, we have Joseph Hastings, recruiting analyst for us there at BOL. And of course, just below me, this is kind of like the Brady Bunch of recruiting, I guess. Andrew Bone, senior recruiting editor for BOL. And then our site publisher, Diagonal down there. Tim Watts. Guys, it seems like folks like the quad box, so let's get another one going.
Let's do it.
Let's get it.
So let's get into what's on the horizon for Alabama football recruiting. It's been a productive stretch of commitments for Kalen DeBoer. I know, Andrew, you have outlined, 200-plus prospects of some sort have passed through Tuscaloosa during the spring practice period, but I know you've also reported for us there at BamaOnline.com that in terms of official visitors on the horizon, that's another number that continues to surge.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you look back throughout the entire spring and, there were about 200-plus recruits who were in town. Now, a lot of those guys aren't going to be Alabama targets. So, a lot of those guys were kind of brought in. You kind of get a chance to evaluate them from a personal standpoint, from a size standpoint, and make a decision if you're going to recruit these guys kind of moving forward. But there were a ton of recruits that were in town throughout the entire spring. And, with Coach DeBoer and his staff meeting these guys for the first time, but, you're kind of looking ahead to the official visits, and Alabama's going to have one this weekend, their very first one of the 2025 class, and Dawson Merritt's going to be in town for his official, and as of right now, currently the only official visitor that we're going to see on campus. But then, you get into May, you get into June, we've already got about 24-plus recruits that have scheduled official visits to Alabama, and that's kind of the goal in the springtime. You get these kids on campus, you recruit them, you evaluate them, you build these relationships. The goal is to secure an official visit, and Alabama's been able to do that with a lot of top guys.
So, Tim, where are we at now in this process? I guess Andrew kind of just laid it out for us. Coming out of spring practice, official visits being set, but you also have to meld this together, I guess, with the transfer portal window coming open. So how does this staff go about dealing with all these different balls in the air, so to speak, and where do we go from here?
I think the portal not being as active as probably expected. No, I wouldn't say as expected. I know some people hyped it up to be bigger than it probably was going to be based on the past ones, but it's not a bit. Imagine having the December portal window right now where you had, 200 people in there and you're trying to put a class together and you got guys leaving and all that. So it's such a mixture there. I think it's a lot easier now because you focused on prep guys. I think ideally you want prep guys to build your program, right? I think Kalen DeBoer and we've seen them focus on that. But then, your portal, you want to spot pick up guys. So I think they did exactly what they want to do again with all the visitors, setting up official visits. Dijon Lee will be in for an unofficial visit, which is huge. When you come from California to Alabama, I'd consider them all official. That's a lot. You're officially committed to that trip. So then again, with Dawson Merritt, and again, you look at the list Andrew put together, there's a gap of 3 or 4 weeks that'll probably be filled in with some people depending on their schedule. I mean, these kids are still in school. Jackson Lloyd, for instance, playing baseball. Some of these guys play soccer. So much going on right now.
So, Andrew, I'm thinking we may start – or excuse me, Joseph, we may start a linebacker of the week target here on the quad box. Kidding, I guess, to an extent. But, boy, you talk about a position that continues to get a lot of the focus and the spotlight, at least from a fan perspective. But there's no denying, too, obviously a point of emphasis for this Alabama staff.
Yeah, if you go on the BOL roundtable earlier this week, you would have seen the Dawson Merritt story that was posted by Andrew's Chad Simmons. And in there, people are wondering, hold on, he's listed as a linebacker. And, you have questions about another linebacker commitment. Really, how much more is Bama running the 191? We get those jokes all the time. Dawson Merritt, he is a wolf target. He's listed as a linebacker so that, outside linebacker, edge rushing position, very intriguing target. So I guess he could be the linebacker of the week technically this time around. But yeah, he's somebody that we're definitely paying attention to just because he had a really good visit last month to Alabama. Bone did a great story on him recapping that visit. He's got the official coming up, his first official visit that he's going to be taking. It's going to be to Alabama. You know, plans to make a decision in the summer. So, you know, definitely one to watch. He's the son of a, you know, son of a coach. His dad has won 5 Super Bowls as a coach, 2 with the Giants, 3 with the Chiefs. So, you know, nice little football pedigree there. But Dawson Mayer is definitely someone that, you know, Alabama likes, and we'll see what goes on after this official visit here.
And Kane Womack's defense too. I mean, you're projecting up to 4 positions where you're thinking at least somewhat linebacker qualities or attributes. So you got to take that into account too, I guess. So Andrew, though, talk to me about some big guys, man. That seems to be where perhaps at some point here in the not too distant future, that's where more of the focus will shift to. Offensive, defensive linemen, give me some bigs that I need to be on the lookout for.
I think, I'll let Tim talk about O-line because I know that's his favorite position. So we'll talk. I'll talk a little bit more about the defensive line.
But Dancing Bears.
Yeah. That's right. You know, I think the Sugar Bear, the Josiah Sharma, has been to Tuscaloosa 3 times now, has an official visit set for June 21st. That was one of the new ones that we added on our list this week. So getting him back on campus for a 4th time, very significant. I know a lot of people thought that he might make a decision this spring, but he's going to stretch it out a little bit longer. He's going to take some official visits, has Texas and Washington in June, as well as Alabama. So Alabama's going to get that last visit of the before the dead period. So, you know, will they be able to capitalize on that, push them over the top, and potentially get a commitment from Josiah in July? We'll see. But, you know, Antonio Coleman's already committed. Alabama was able to flip him away from Auburn after Auburn flipped him away from the Crimson Tide back in December. So, you know, that's 2 defensive linemen right there that, you know, Alabama seems to be in a pretty good spot with. And there's some other guys that are out there. I think you got to get some guys back on campus. Nathaniel Marshall, who set an official visit out of the Chicago area, took an unofficial back in March. You know, that's a big target. Javion Campbell out of Kentucky is another guy that we're watching pretty closely. And yeah, there's just a lot of guys that are still being evaluated and guys that they want to bring on campus this summer. I think we're going to probably see some more offers that get extended on the defensive line front. But, you know, a couple back-to-back really good classes on the defensive line, but this is certainly another area that you know, they can land some big names and do well. But Josiah Sharma, Antonio Coleman, you know, as I mentioned, Nathaniel Marshall, Javion Campbell, those are all guys that have official visits set for the month of June. We'll see who else gets on board.
Tim, I know you love to talk offensive line, but I got to ask you about, and no, you had some interest in this too, maybe not directly related to Alabama, but it could have a sort of domino effect on the recruitment of Juju Lewis, the quarterback, yeah, who is currently committed to USC. We know Alabama remains very involved there, but some news that caught your attention here in the last few days.
Yeah, Georgia took a commitment, got a I don't even know the guy's name. Y'all, I don't remember right off the top of my head.
Ryan Montgomery.
Yeah, Ryan Montgomery came in kind of late. You know, I wasn't really following that recruitment. Alabama hasn't been involved. Georgia committed him. It's got to affect. I mean, the first reaction to that is it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect them. But they have it. Georgia has a 2026, one of the best quarterbacks in the country committed. They've got Ryan Montgomery, who's a solid-looking quarterback too. So I would think they're probably – the odds of Juju ending up there has probably got a lot longer because of that. Also, I mean, you know, Juju's going to have, like, there's a lot going on with Juju on and off the field. You know, you've got the, you know, NIL, high-profile quarterback like that, you're dealing with the NIL for sure. It's not like it's a secret. I mean, he's pretty much like, you know, he's got his own press secretary and guys that's, you know, help him manage the media and all that stuff. His dad's trying to help him sort through it. USC obviously committed. I've never felt like USC was just going to let go of this guy. And as we get deeper into this, I get to the point, I wonder if they're not going to just be all in to get him. Because how long are you going to go recruiting him and all the effort they put in? So I don't think USC is going to go away without a fight. I also don't think Auburn's going to go away without a fight. I think they need a big win. That could be 2 schools to really watch. Alabama's kind of hanging around the perimeter, seeing how things shake out, evaluating other quarterbacks. But I still think there's a lot of stuff going on with Juju to try to figure it out. And it's been pretty dynamic up and down with Bama's involvement so far. So I still expect some twists and turns. But I'd be surprised if Georgia stayed in the race when all said and done. And I might be wrong. I don't cover Georgia. Rusty Manziel does. But in the past, it'd be hard for me to see Juju joining the two they've got. Not that he's worried about it, or does Georgia want to take Juju and scare off one of the other ones? Because that 2026 kid's pretty special.
JoJo, the running back position is always one of particular interest. We saw it in the 8A scrimmage. Really strong performances by three guys that Alabama coveted on the recruiting trail. Really four when you think about the early enrollee situation too. But where does that stand right now as we look ahead to this or during this current cycle for 2025? A running back commitment, we know. But the depth of this class, how does that shake out right now?
Yeah, so you mentioned the running back commitment, Anthony Rogers, the longest tenured commit in Bama's 2025 class, going back to June of last year. He recently visited for A-Day. We got to speak with him afterward. And, you know, he's going to take his visits. He's talked about taking officials potentially to Georgia and Auburn. Ohio State's still in the mix, trying to get that first visit from him. So, he's somebody that's visited, and, he's talked about Alabama coming out to see him during the evaluation period at some point. We'll see if he gets back on campus for an official visit in the summer, maybe if he holds off for the fall. As for other running back targets, in Bone's official visit story from earlier this week, Jamarian Morrow, four-star running back out of Tennessee, he scheduled an official visit to Alabama for the last weekend of May, first weekend of June, that May 31st through June 2nd weekend. And Gerard Pringle, who's committed to Miami, expected to take his official visit right before the dead period. So, they've also extended multiple offers, new offers in the 2025 class, one of them being to Shakai Mills-Knight, who played at Baylor School in Chattanooga, which is the same school as 2024 wide receiver signing Amari Jefferson. We got to speak with him. He recently visited. It's definitely a position group that I would say is fluid right now in terms of recruiting. We got the spring evaluation period that began. Alabama will go out to see some guys. You got summer camps, coming up too. And you never can also rule out the opportunity for there to be offers during the season, that early senior season film evaluation. So, it's definitely a position group that I would say is fluid right now.
So, Andrew, if a scenario like the one we talked about with Juju Lewis plays out, maybe he sticks with SC, maybe he ends up at Auburn or somewhere else, give us an idea of a contingency plan or just an overall plan. It may not even be a contingency plan. It may be the way Alabama sees it right now at the position if it doesn't involve Juju Lewis.
I think Alabama wants to sign a quarterback. They also want to sign somebody that they feel like, can be an impact player on their team. Maybe not next year, but in future years, they're not just trying to add a quarterback just to add depth to the roster. So, I think there's some other guys that are out there that they're still evaluating. Keelon Russell, who's an SMU commit, he's been talking to Alabama. I think that's a guy that, they could potentially make a move on, but need to get him to campus. I think they want to see him. They want to evaluate him, see him in person. So that's certainly a guy that we're going to pay close attention to. Matt Zollers, even though he just committed to Missouri, Alabama very interested in him. They did not make an offer 4 days to him, 4 days before he announced his commitment to Mizzou. That was when he visited Alabama. And I just don't think, and Tim and I've talked about this, that, they just weren't ready to make an offer when they had to make a decision within 4 days. So that's a guy that I think they're going to probably go out and see during the spring. You never know, may get him back for an official visit during the summer. I don't think Deuce Knight is completely out of the picture just yet. That's a guy that we were talking about very early on, had a lot of conversations with Alabama. So I think they're going to go out and see him this spring, may still try to get him on campus this summer. But those are some guys that we're paying close attention to. And I'm sure there's some more guys on Alabama's radar that we don't know about just yet that they're going to go out and see this spring and try to get to camp in June.
Tim, on three rankings were recently updated. Give me some general thoughts on how that played out with Alabama commitments. Obviously, Lotsier Brooks, a guy that we continue to just hear great, great things about. Our eyes tell us a lot of great things about Lotsier Brooks. But kind of how that has impacted this still forming Alabama class.
Yeah, I still think, you know, April rankings are still so early for me. I know the fans get excited. I like to watch them too, but it's really like putting the domino, you know, it's like putting a puzzle together where you find a guy, you find a piece that fits, and then you put it in. You can't really do collectively. I mean, Lazier made a big jump. They call it the Bama bump, which is just like lazy and uneducated and hateful and jealous. And I got a lot of other adjectives, but, you know, it all would end and grow up. That's not really, I mean, you watched his film. I even had people texting me, how does this guy make the big jump? And I said, watch the film or don't talk to me. Shut up. I don't care. I don't care. You're looking at numbers and having an opinion. We're not CPAs. We're not accountants. Watch the film. Tell me what you think. I didn't have yet to have anybody watch the film and not be impressed. Not a single human being on earth. You know, I feel like if I showed that to my daughter, she'd be like, good Lord, he's fast. You know, he's good. So I don't worry about that, but made a jump up in that top 100 range. I still think based on some of the other, he was the best sub 6 foot wide receiver I saw. And I mean, there's still, he kind of got to divide them into groups, but he went up really good bit. Jaden Harmon, I thought made a nice jump. He's a thumper. He was headed to go up before he even announced he was committing, for the record. All these aren't done just for the ones that doubt. These aren't done like the morning a kid commits. These are done weeks in advance with a date set to on a certain day. That's why they announced, hey, on April 15, we're dropping the rankings and May 3rd. So I thought Alabama's did a good job. I've been really impressed with this staff because of their evaluation skills. Travis, you remember early on, Andrew, you remember early on when Saban got here, we would find an offer, Kareem Jackson. Never really covered him. Guy wasn't ranked. He got the Bama bump. He got the NFL bump. He got the pay bump. He got the All-Pro bump, by the way, after that. But he's a guy, that's an example where they came in and found guys. This staff's similar. Jackson Lloyd, Josiah Sharman, all these guys they've recruited, a lot of them have went up in the rankings, and they all won't end up at Alabama. They will end up at other places. But the evaluation from this staff, I've been impressed with.
Yeah, and you can cite the upcoming NFL draft in terms of Kalen DeBoer and his staff's ability to identify talent. And even if you want to refute that by saying, well, he wasn't there long enough for his recruits. Well, player development is huge. Yeah. And he obviously knocked it out of the park, he and his staff. When you think about the names that are going to be called, we talked about this before, the race between Alabama and Washington for total draft picks next weekend, it's going to be pretty fascinating to watch play out. So let me ask you this, JoJo, understanding that there really are very few new names in recruiting, especially during a current cycle. Lazier Brooks, kind of that kind of guy. As Andrew told us before, there was history with Brooks between the previous staff and him. So he wasn't entirely new, may have felt that way a little bit. But in terms of stock risers, if we did a stock report maybe on some guys who are trending upward with Alabama, not so much even just in terms of their interest in Alabama, but perhaps the other way around too.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, we're going to definitely be watching for these upcoming official visits that we mentioned before, you know, seeing who actually gets on campus for officials, you know, during the evaluation period, which offers are extended, you know, in terms of adding new players to the board. You know, in terms of stock up, you know, you have to look at a guy like Michael Carroll, who got on campus twice in the span of 3 weeks recently for a day, Bone did a story on his visit with his father, you know, getting to meet Nick Saban, you know, getting to meet Landon Dickerson. You know, they met each other at the airport, flew down, talked with each other there in Tuscaloosa. You know, so he's somebody definitely to watch as well. You know, I think Tim has brought up someone by the name of Jackson Lloyd. You know, we've been talking about him a little bit just in terms of anytime you see someone come over from California to Alabama multiple times before their official visit, you know, that's something that we're definitely watching, which kind of leads into the next one, Dijon Lee. You know, I it's still there, you know, neck and neck with Georgia. They're battling it out, but to get him on campus again, especially when there was a lot of talk about him visiting for Georgia's spring game over Alabama's, to get him on campus again was definitely is definitely going to be crucial for the Crimson Tide. So, yeah, you know, interested to see how things play out with this current class. You know, from a rankings perspective, too, you know, you look at, you know, a guy like Luke Luke Metz, who, you know, when you get to see him in person, I think that's going to be the biggest thing. Can you get an in-person evaluation from him? You know, he's somebody I could see potentially jumping into the On300. Zymir Smith as well. You know, he's somebody who's very dynamic on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. So, yeah, I thought the rankings release, I agree with Tim on that. You know, it's still really early. There's going to be multiple updates until the final one in early 2025. But, you know, as things stand right now, Alabama has the number six class in the country after most of that previous class, you know, departed, decommitted. So I think the staff has done exceptional so far with their evaluations.
Andrew, let's talk about the West Coast, because there seems to be a real point of emphasis with the guys out that way. And I guess it's understandable, right? You got a staff coming from out there. Courtney Morgan, Kalen DeBoer, their familiarity with it. But certainly Alabama's foundation that was laid many, many years ago under Nick Saban. Is that what's happening here? Those two things kind of coming together and keeping Alabama very, very relevant out on the West Coast?
I think so. Yeah, I'll never forget a coach telling me this was probably back in 2010, 2011. He said a lot of these West Coast guys were never really that interested in Alabama. And then Alabama played in the Rose Bowl, and all these kids that were, you know, a little bit younger, maybe they were eighth grader, ninth grader, they saw all these Alabama fans out in California, and they were just blown away by the fan support and made them a little bit more interested. And then Alabama obviously won the national championship that year in 2009 at the Rose Bowl against Texas. And all of a sudden you start seeing more and more West Coast kids visit Alabama, and obviously that helped. But I think this new staff, I think, you know, their connections is kind of, you know, more so the reason we're seeing a lot of these other guys that have visited, because Jackson Lloyd, Josiah Sharma, Abdul Sanders, you know, some of these guys weren't necessarily on the previous staff's radar. Now all of a sudden you're starting to see more guys that have started visiting. Dejon Lee, as Tim mentioned earlier, is going to be visiting Alabama for the third time this weekend. So that's huge to get him back, especially before an official visit in the summer. And, you know, we're going to see more and more West Coast kids that are going to visit. We've seen a lot of juniors, 2026 guys and 2027 guys visit throughout the spring from the West Coast. And I think those connections with the staff have certainly paid off big time for them.
Yeah. And by the way, we certainly hope you'll subscribe to our YouTube channel here. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button, turn on those notifications. You'll get all of our YouTube content as it drops right here on the YouTube home for Bama Online. All right, Tim, we're going to talk offensive line specific with you, because we know it's an area near and dear to your heart. We've heard some names mentioned. We know one in particular that you're particularly enamored with, multiple sport guy that we talked about here on the show in the past. But give us a little bit of an overview and the approach with this staff, because even coming out of last season, doing a little bit of research, I saw the differences in maybe size and how Washington went about offensive line play in comparison to Alabama. You know, how has that sort of shook out at Alabama with Kalen DeBoer?
I was most curious to see what they would do with the offensive line, Kalen DeBoer and staff. He has Courtney Morgan on staff, who's a former offensive lineman, heavy in the recruiting too, leading the way as the general manager. But the philosophies here were so different. I thought that was the biggest out of all the other positions. The defensive linemen, they're kind of the same thing. DBs, wide receiver, everybody's come. But the size difference in what the former Bama staff wanted. I mean, again, Washington's biggest guy is like 340. They say, hey, Washington has a big guy that's getting drafted at 340. Well, he's 25, 30 pounds lighter than Alabama's tackles last year. That's how big the guys were. So we've seen that philosophy. So they reached in. They got the guys they want. You see guys like Jackson Lloyd, Michael Carroll, guys like that. That's kind of like you can build them up. You know, and that was really popular, you know, back in the NFL. There, you had a lot of guys that were former tight ends going into college who grew into tackles and ended up high in the draft and having good careers. But you see these guys kind of doing that 280 range. Jackson Lloyd's just the one that, you know, I know he was one of the first ones mentioned. We knew nothing of him. I don't remember any connection to the former staff. And then we watched his film. He's impressive. Next thing you know, he's got basketball film. He's got baseball film. You know, he's trying to hit inside the park home runs. He got called out at the plate. Questionable call, in my opinion. But big boys running around trying to do it, get inside the park home runs. So the philosophy difference has been bigger. You see Andrew Babalua. It's a guy they're trying to make a run at. We've had a lot of good updates. Michael Carroll again. Hardy Watts is a guy outside of my name that I was interested in to see if he'd visit.
No relation?
I'd say this on the round table. If he goes to the NFL, you're damn right. We're related. If he doesn't, I don't know. If not, I don't know. If not, we'll figure that out. But if he goes to the NFL, definitely ask him for tickets. I think the biggest thing for me, offensive line, has just been the philosophy and seeing the changes. But they've done a great job. I mean, they have they've got a close on them, obviously. But the table is set. There's a lot of good options on the plate.
So, Joseph, for a class that doesn't have a quarterback commitment right now, and you typically associate that position as sort of the ringleader from a commitment standpoint of helping to rally the troops for a class, give me a guy or two right now that you've dealt with, Andrew too, that kind of gives you that vibe that might be that sort of person, that leader for a class.
Yeah, you know, I think Bone's going to agree with me here. It's Darryl Duke Johnson. You know, he's somebody that, you know, tweeted out a day before Jaden Harmon's commitment. He's like, we got another one following LaSierre Brooks' commitment. He's been tweeting out at Lagonza Hayward. You know, we did a story on him recently where he talked about recruiting Julian Lewis as well. He's somebody who's been very active, and, you know, he kind of has that it factor. You know, when you get to meet him in person, talk with him over the phone, just see his interactions with everybody else. He has that it factor. He's located in Georgia, you know, a state with a lot of talent. You know, he's been recruiting guys already. So he definitely has the markers of that, you know, leader of the class early on, you know, kind of similar somewhat to, you know, Jalen Mbakwe, how they've kind of approached things. That's kind of the parallel that I've drawn so far. But who knows, you know, there could be another commitment who comes in and immediately lights things up, just in terms of, you know, having that it factor, having, that star power, being active on social media, which is a huge thing as well, you know, being willing to text, DM their fellow peers. But Darryl Duke Johnson's definitely the one. You know, you think in state, maybe a guy like Antonio Coleman could be someone who, you know, starts reaching out, starts doing some recruiting of their own. But, you know, I think Darryl Duke Johnson's definitely the answer there.
Andrew, there is representation in this commitment list for 2025 where the state of Alabama is concerned. It just feels like it's been a minute since we've gotten or seen a commitment from an in-state kid to UA. What's out there on the horizon that you think could sort of get Alabama back on that trail as far as in-state guys for this current class are concerned?
You know, I think it was big when Alabama was able to flip Antonio Coleman, back from Auburn after he had flipped to the Tigers back in December. You know, getting him back on board was huge. Obviously, getting Ryan Williams back on board was huge. But, you know, they've been able to keep Anthony Rogers and Miles Johnson, two of the holdovers from the previous staff. And then they were able to get Derek Smith, the number two recruit in the entire state of Alabama. He's listed as an athlete, listed as a safety. Alabama likes him a little bit more on the defense side of the ball. So having the number two guy in the state on your commitment list this early was obviously pretty big. But, you know, as we all know, you know, who's going to be that next guy to jump on board? And there's not really a ton of options as far as in-state guys. Micah DuBose, probably the one guy a lot of people are watching pretty closely. You know, he's kind of had an up and down recruitment, committed to Georgia last January, decommitted in December, was considered a heavy lean to Auburn at the time. And then a couple months pass and he's a heavy lean to LSU. A couple months pass. Now Alabama's starting to gain some momentum there. I wouldn't name them as a leader, but they've gained some steam there, and they're going to get him on campus next month for an unofficial visit, and again for an official visit in that last weekend in June. So, those are some of the names that we're watching pretty closely as far as Alabama and Auburn commitment. Ja'Caleb Falk, edge rusher, is also scheduled to take an official visit to Alabama in June. So those are some of the names that we're watching a little bit closer as far as in-state guys are concerned.
Travis, one thing, we hyped up this class as being one of the best one, but it did take a hit when Ryan Williams left. I mean, that was, we thought, Naeem offered and Ryan Williams were going to be top 10 guys. We felt comfortable saying that. We knew there was other guys that were going to be top 101 candidates, like Derek Smith, who I still think is, going to be considered for five-star, Anquan Fagans, who's certainly a top 100 guy and be considered higher. DeBose, Coleman, we're all big names. But some of these guys aren't panning out like we thought. I'm not going to call any names out, obviously, but their recruitments aren't going. They're not as highly recruited as we expected them to do at the time. So this class perspective has changed a little bit. I think the fans are going to have to change from it too. There's still some guys. I think there's some guys towards the bottom of the 30 that need to be up there in the 10 as we adjust this slowly but surely. But that's one thing, because the fans, I mean, we thought 2 years ago this was going to be an epic group. Still a very good group. It's a normal group, but it's not the group we thought. I mean, you lose Ryan, that would have given you two guys in the top 10, which is pretty epic for Alabama.
All right, Joseph, as we wind things down on the latest recruiting recap here on the YouTube home for BamaOnline.com, give me your one big thing for this upcoming stretch of 6 or 7 days. We talked about an official visitor of note. Portal, you can include in that if you would like. We're going to have the conclusion of spring practice pretty much across the country. So next week could have a different feel to it, even from that perspective. What's at the top of your list?
Yeah, so I think one thing that I did really want to highlight is just, kind of the diversity of this class in terms of where Alabama's been able to recruit. You know, you talk about the Northeast with Zymir Smith and Lassier Brooks. You talk about going into neighboring Georgia, landing the likes of Luke Metz, Daryl Duke Johnson, Jaden Harmon. Going out to the West Coast, landing Abdul Sanders, being able to get multiple guys from out there on campus twice in the spring, get them out also for an official visit in June as well. And then also land the in-state guys too, like Derek Smith, flipping Antonio Coleman, as Bone mentioned. I've been very impressed with, how Alabama has been able to recruit kind of overall in this cycle. There were a lot of questions when Kalen DeBoer and his staff came over. Would they be able to recruit the South? They've been able to check off that box. How good are they as evaluators? You've seen with the rankings jumps, with the Jackson Lloyds of the world, the Lassier Brooks of the world, with some of those top guys that they've been prioritizing. So I've just been pretty impressed with the staff in terms of what they've been able to do with this class holistically. And, I think it's going to be, once again, very interesting to see what goes on this spring evaluation period. But, that would probably be my one big thing for the next 6 or 7 days, just, where Alabama gets out to. We've heard of a couple guys talk about, Bama mentioning to them coming over pretty soon. So interested to see where they get out to, which new offers are extended, who else gets official visits lined up. So that's kind of, I guess it's multiple big things, but we'll wrap it up into one.
Yeah, Andrew, we'll let you take a choice from any of those that JoJo just hit us with. Or if you have something else that you'd like to put at the top of your list, Andrew.
And I think it's just this weekend, as far as visits concerned, football-wise. I think, getting Dawson Merritt back on campus for a second visit. And he has a top four right now, Alabama, Nebraska, Mizzou, and Oklahoma. Alabama's going to be his first visit. So, and he's not going to be making a decision until likely in July after those three June officials. So that's going to be big. You got to make a big impression on him this weekend, because it's going to be the last time you have him on campus before that decision happens. And he's one of Alabama's top wolf targets, as we mentioned. We talked about how the running joke on the site's about linebackers, but even though he's ranked as a linebacker, Alabama does not have a wolf commitment in its class just yet. So this is a guy that they really like a lot. They're going to get him on campus this weekend for the official, and they're hoping to make another really strong impression. And DeJohn Lee, getting him back on campus as well. It's already been mentioned before, but having a top 100 corner who's 6'3.5", 6'4" on your campus when it's a tight race between Alabama and Georgia, really kind of heading into the summer, has official visits set for both of them, for both schools, and it's a really tight race. I know Georgia feels like they're in a great position with him. I think he's even mentioned that Georgia has the edge, but that can quickly change, because I know that he has a long-standing relationship with this Alabama staff. They recruited him when they were at Washington, and he's got some good connections there. So this weekend, these two visits on the football front and the 2025 class, that's what I'm really watching this these next few days.
Take us out of here, Tim Watts. What's at the top of your list?
You know, I think Dijon would be the biggest one for me, the one I'm watching the closest. And again, you got these guys coming from California. I mean, they, you know, they must like it enough to make repeat, you know, repeat performances. Bama doesn't have a cornerback committed, and he's kind of a unicorn. I mean, his size is legit. I mean, that's not a heightened up. He's a big kid, has a lot of length going with him. But for me, it's kind of like, get through this portal window, you know, the next couple of weeks, get this visit. You don't have a ton of official visitors, which is probably good. I think Micah DeBose is coming up next in a couple of weeks, early March, I think we've reported. And so right. Just kind of get through that window. Is it May? Yeah, I'm definitely backward on my months, but coming up in early in May, they so just kind of slowing down to see who's going to fill in some of those visits. Unofficial visits can pop up at any moment. So it's been interesting putting this puzzle. There's no real break anymore is what I've noticed from this. There's no week off. Visitors coming, portal guys coming, basketball, football, people going in the portal. Also, the portal's ever-changing by who goes in the portal. Bama has to evaluate them, and, you know, they're going to do their due diligence to see if they're a fit and start reaching out and all that stuff.
10 pounds of stuff into a 5-pound bag these days. Transfer portal, evaluation period, official visits. Just incredibly different than it was just 3 or 4 years ago. But you know, we've
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I'm going to be honest.
But it is different.
We've adjusted to that. We've seen plenty of people saying about the good old days. I don't mind this. I don't mind this. It's year-round. Active. If you love sports, it's year-round sports.
It is. There's no doubt about that. It's 20. It's every minute of every day sports. We've got it. We got you covered right there at BamaOnline.com as well. Joseph Hastings, Andrew Bone, Tim Watts do such a great job for us there at BOL. And, of course, Charlie Potter, Clint Lamb, Jimmy Stein, those guys tremendously valuable to us as well. Guys, it was a lot of fun. Very informative. Look forward to doing it again real soon.
Let's do it. Everybody have a good weekend.
Absolutely. For Joseph, for Tim, for Andrew, Travis Schreier, thanks again. And until next time, so long, everybody.